This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As the weather improves and the kids get closer to the official end of the school year, you may have found yourself thinking about where you can and cannot go in the weeks to come. There's no question Michiganders are hitting the trails in greater numbers. The Department of Natural Resources manages 13,000 miles of trails and 1,300 boat launches. And Ron Olson is Chief of Park and Rec for the state of Michigan. Ron, welcome to Stateside.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Ron, do we know how many people have been visiting state parks during physical distancing?
Well, we do keep track of numbers. I don't have the exact numbers handy right now, but we do know that even though camping has been suspended, the number of day users or people coming out has accelerated beyond what's normal, even on marginal weather days. We do know that as you get closer to warm weather, we do have lots of people that come out, but we have observed definitely a clearer uptick in the normal visitation that we would have, particularly over the last 6 or so 7 weeks.
What has reopening looked like for state parks and beaches?
Well, it's been a challenge. First of all, we were paused because of the essential work regulations and things like that. Plus, we had a hiring freeze, so our parks were being managed by our staff that we have that carry through the winter. So it was okay in the first part because the weather was kind of off. But we did restrict access to some of the amenities in the park, such as children's playgrounds and fishing platforms and any area where people might gather. All of our events were suspended. Plus, of course, the camping was paused or suspended as well. So it really changed the types of uses, even though a lot of folks still came out and hiked and biked and different things like that. Plus, the boating activity as fishing picked up, we had very, very busy boat launches, and in some of the areas we had a hard time getting what's called a skid pier, or the piers pushed out in the water to accommodate the boaters, because those activities were something we couldn't do for a while. But then eventually things got better, and we now have are hiring people back. But everything, in a nutshell, became delayed from what we normally would be doing.
Sure.
And so that overall has created a challenge.
Sure. Now, the governor is still asking that people observe physical distancing even as they get out and enjoy. To what extent can DNR patrol what's going on? What happens if people disobey physical distancing?
Well, first of all, we've put up signs, and particularly at busy parks, we've even gone so far as to put up the kind of highway construction signs that are very clear when you come in to say that, you know, social distancing is required. For the most part, we've had good compliance with that. It's evolved over time, but we've observed in many, many places it's been abided by most people, not perfect everywhere. But in terms of some areas, we did escalate enforcement at a few areas where we were having some trouble, and our law enforcement staff were involved with this. And of course, as you know, the executive orders do bring with it up from a $500 to $1,000 fine. And there's only been less than 10 tickets given out throughout this whole time.
Now, is that because there have been fewer than 10 serious incidents, or just a function of the fact that you can't be everywhere at once?
No, these are, what I'm trying to say is that we've had warnings given to hundreds of people in groups. We've also had probably in the near 1,000 now contacts, which meaning basically that they would tell somebody to please separate and things like that. And warnings have been, if you don't separate, you could be subject to a ticket, and people then have complied. Less than 10 cases we've had actually gave tickets out to people because they've just refused to comply. Now, at Tippy Dam Recreation Area, which is now reopened last Friday, it was closed for almost a month because it was a very popular fishing area and people fish shoulder to shoulder there. And we had an awful time warning people and explaining it. People would separate because they fish along the river and that sort of thing. And finally, we had to close it. Also at Grand Haven State Park, we closed the parking lots a few weeks ago on a weekend because we had an impromptu car show that created some people gathering, and they refused to separate. And
wow!
Like
how many? How many people? How many people did that draw?
Oh, it was hundreds of people, and they were all clustered into the parking lot, looking at these cars. Of course, we would not have permitted an activity like that, but it really got out of hand because of the fact that people wouldn't voluntarily separate. So we, working with our law enforcement, closed all the lots to Grand Haven, and we collaborated with the city of Grand Haven. We since have reopened the channel parking lot, which is a smaller lot, but the large lot has yet to be reopened. But other than that, busy parks like Belle Isle and Detroit, we've had just an overabundance of people wanting to go there, and we've closed the park a few times only because of overcapacity of cars, but not because of social distancing issues.
Is your staff, I don't know what kind of capacity you'd have for this, but is your staff in any position to sort of monitor social networks and try to look for references to people gathering in large numbers in places, or do you just have to sort of react to what staff see on the ground?
Oh, we keep track of all that. We look at social media. We pay attention to what's going on. We have good relationships with the local communities as well as some others. We do collaborate. For a while there, a lot of the rural communities up in the northern part of the state were worried about tourists coming and bringing the potential of the virus coming in, stopping at gas stations, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we do have a multi kind of reach out collaborative way of keeping track to the best of our ability of things that may be coming our way or possibilities. But again, for the most part, we already kind of know where the busy areas are going to be. And so we've concentrated on those areas as well.
What are lake levels looking like at this point in the year?
Oh, they're very high. They're higher right now than they were last year at this time, and we've had a lot of impacts to areas. Just like last year, we saw pictures over the weekend of East Tawas or Tawas State Park, and the day use parking lot is flooded now, and we've had some campsites flooded, and we've had boat launches that are flooded to the point where they can't be used. We've had damage to harbors. So, yeah, it's definitely created problems, notwithstanding erosion on the shorelines and the loss of beaches and things like that. And we've inventoried all over the state, but that's been evolving over the last probably three years plus now as the water levels have steadily risen. And that's not just on Lake Michigan. It's Lake Superior. It's Lake Huron. And even down in Lake Erie, we've had problems all over. So it's a big challenge. Plus on Belle Isle in Detroit, the Detroit River has swelled, and we have flooding on the east end of the park that has threatened some features in the park as well. So we've got that going on, too.
We've reached this point in the state where contact tracing is going to be an increasingly important way to maintain the reopenings that the state has been able to achieve. How does that work at places like beaches and parks?
I guess you got to start at the very basic, the very beginning of this, when the first executive orders were put out about curtailing and stay-at-home order, the very first one. It did mention in there things that were under the essential category, and state, county, and local parks were identified as essential areas, as provided that they were maintained in a sanitary, safe fashion. And so we started with that, and we urged people to recreate close to home, and you come out and enjoy yourself with the restrictions that I already mentioned. From there, things have evolved, and as the orders have evolved and changed and things have opened up more or got more constricted, like boating was for a while, motor boating was enabled, and then it got restricted and then was reinstituted again, and other kinds of things that have evolved over time. But we've evolved with it, and as time goes on, we keep track of the benchmarks, but there's still the stay-at-home order, and so therefore some of the traveling activities we still emphasize to recreate close to home, and camping is still not allowed, but we've prepared restart plans for that, and we're discussing that. Our target date, it's not a firm date, but our target date right now is to reopen camping fully on June 22nd, but obviously the orders go through June 12th, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But if everything stays as they are and that's enabled, then we plan to open that, which would mean that would be part of the evolutionary process.
But I can only imagine what the reservation line is going to be like.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've already had hundreds and hundreds, literally thousands of cancellations that have occurred that people had booked between late April and all the way through Memorial Day through the 22nd of June. So we've been very, very busy trying to encourage people to delay their booking to a later time in the summer. And we even incentivized that by providing a free camp night. But then there's been a large number of people that simply canceled their reservation, which camping is a very important part of funding the state park system. And so it's very critical, the revenue piece, but so we have lost revenue, and we're hoping that, you know, people will choose to come back and go camping later and things like that. But it is challenging, no doubt.
Ron, you mentioned that you'd like to ask people to consider recreating closer to home in order to limit any future spread of the virus. Do you have any other advice for Michiganders who might be hoping to spend a day at the beach soon?
Well, all we're saying, we've repeated this many a time, is that if you're sick or don't feel well, don't go out. Second, if you do go, pick a place that's close to home to minimize contacts and stopovers like at gas stations and things like that. The third is, when you get there, be patient and take your time. Try to park in a spot separated from other people and things like that. But then when you do get to a spot, for example, on a beach, separate yourself and, more than 6 feet. I mean, that's a minimum advice, but we've seen